The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
During the Invite One Back initiative, you, the parishioners, are involved by inviting someone from your inner circle to attend Mass with you. But that person in your inner circle is someone who has fallen away from the faith, someone who doesn't attend church anymore. And we want you to invite that one person back. Now, we're not asking to invite all your circle of friend back. We're just asking you to invite that one person. And so I ask you today to please help out with the Eucharistic revival by praying to the Holy Spirit, who is that one person right now that the Lord wants you to invite back to the church?
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It is great to be here with you today, and it's a great question, right? You just heard it. I want to change gears. We'll talk a little bit about inviting somebody back. Do you have a loved one who is away from the faith? You have somebody who you're praying for, perhaps? We all know the stats. I've been talking about it for a long time. It's something I'm pretty passionate about. Because I think it makes our country weaker. I think it's unfortunate for the church, but we have fewer Catholics going to Mass. In fact, we see way too many Catholics leave the practice of the faith. And what are they leaving for? Oh, quite literally nothing, right? Nothing. Those who leave often become part of this group that are called the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, right? The nuns. They've got nothing, no, you know, religious affiliation. They're not practicing. They don't really believe in anything particular. Now they get to sleep in on Sundays, get to watch football, go golfing, do whatever they want to do, right? And Saturday night doesn't matter. God doesn't exist. Well, maybe he does exist for, but they don't need organized religion, they often say. So what's happening here? Why are those numbers on the rise? How do we get our loved ones back into the loving and warm embrace of the church, the same loving church, the grace-filled church that you and I love and are passionate about? You know, you can talk to them. Yeah, that's important. They just tell you, church is not relevant anymore. I got a problem with the priest or the bishop. Those old rules and regulations, the church is always saying no. I don't need the hassle. You hear all the arguments, right? There's another stat that I'll share with you. It's out there now. And one I think you should know about. Mass attendance is down across the country 7% compared to before the pandemic. So when the churches closed because they were trying to protect the public health, people started watching it on television, right? You did, I'm sure, live streams. And it got really comfortable. You know, you laid in your bed and you had a cup of coffee watching Mass. That's what people were doing. For a lot of people, they just stopped watching it altogether. And they realized, Josh, if I don't go to Mass, I'm not going to get struck by lightning. They got out of the habit of keeping holy the Sabbath. And you know, virtues are the practice of good habits. Vices are the practice of bad habits. And this habit of going to Mass got broken. So our bishops, and we really have to applaud them, they see the problem. They see the loss of faith and true presence. And they created this national Eucharistic revival because they want to once again rekindle the fire of love for the source and summit of our faith, and that's the Eucharist. And the only way that we're going to change, the only way the laity is going to be able to do that is you got to reach out, you know, to those who are no longer going. And maybe you know somebody who's no longer going. There's some strategies and things you can do to bring them back. But I wanted to invite Bishop Andrew Cousins, who's the Bishop of Crookston, Minnesota. That's the far northwestern corner of the state. And he's actually, believe it or not, the tip of the spear in all this. He's in charge of the National Eucharistic Revival. He's got a big task ahead of him, but I know he's praying in a big-time way for the success of this. I'd invite you to pray for him and this as well. And today I thought we could talk a little bit about how we can make the difference in the lives of those we love with Bishop Cousins. Bishop, great to have you with me. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Drew. Thanks for having me on your show again. Always happy to do it.
I love talking with you. I'm very grateful for your initiative, that of your brother bishops as well. And I like this strategy. I want to talk about invite one back. We've talked about the revival and a lot of other things that are happening, but the revival has started a new initiative called Invite One Back. To tell us about what that is, what you hope to achieve, and best way to implement it.
Yeah, this initiative is really aimed just at the people you were talking about, which is those people who they used to go to Mass regularly, or they used to go at least more regularly, and they don't go now. And because we know, like, it's actually a really low barrier for them to come back, right? They just need to go to confession, most of them.
Yeah.
And they just need to, you know, step back into the habit. And so knowing it's a low bar, sometimes it is as simple as one person saying to them, hey, let's go to Mass together, you know, or let's go to confession together and go back to Mass, or at least asking the question about why they don't go, or do they miss it, yeah. And allowing for a conversation that can happen for this person to say, here's why it's important for me to go, and here's why it matters for me.
You know, it's interesting you say that. And I remember one time I did an interview with a guy named Tom Peterson. You probably know him. He founded Catholics Come Home. And they would spend big dollars on high-end, television commercials inviting Catholics to come home. And I remember one year he had 2,000 Catholics return to the church. And I was talking to him on the air. And I said to him, I said, Tom, how do you do it? I mean, what are you doing that is getting so many people to return to the church? And you know his answer was? It floored me, because I thought, oh, it's the television. We're selling this. We're talking about. He says, we're simply asking people to come home. That's all it is. It's an invitation. He says, there were so many people that he spoke to who said, well, nobody ever asked me. No, nobody invited me to go back to church with them. And I was just struck by the simplicity of it. And I want to commend you on seeing that. So it's as simple as reaching out. What do you suggest that somebody does? I mean, a lot of kids don't listen to their parents. What would you suggest that people do to invite that one person home? What are the strategies?
Well, one of the great things is just if people actually know that we miss them, right?
Yeah.
So like to be able to reach out in that way and say, hey, you know, used to see you at Mass a lot, miss seeing you there. Have you thought of coming back? And do you want to come with me? You know, because that even just lets people know that we care. We care enough to know that they're not there anymore. And wouldn't it be wonderful if actually parishes could do that in a strategic way with parishioners? And sort of look through their roles, you know, and say, okay, yeah, who were the active people that we used to have that we haven't seen in a while, right? And how do we invite them back? And the most awkward thing is the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And once you kind of get over that awkwardness and you actually just make an invitation, it can allow a conversation. And that conversation is what's so important, right? Because that begins to open the door. And in the conversation, one can witness, and that's, you know, it's so much better to witness than to argue, right?
Yeah,
we don't need to argue about things, but just to be able to say, here's why it's important for me and here's what I get out of it, can be such a helpful thing. And, we're actually going to be focusing a little bit on this at the National Eucharistic Congress, really in the missionary year, really inviting people to sort of a deeper question, which is, who's the one person in my life that God wants me to walk with to the Catholic faith? And that might, you know, invite one back is really aimed at those people who aren't that far away.
Yeah.
But really, who's the person that God wants me to do this to? And I'd recommend people just starting by praying for them. Like, think who you want to invite back, and then go make a holy hour for them. and ask the Lord, like, okay, Lord, prepare the way. Tell me, give me the right words. And then look for a way to do it, and to do it in friendship and in invitation is a very positive and powerful thing.
It really is. It's really not that complex, is it? It's not brain science here. It's like you don't have to try to, you know, debate transubstantiation or convince them of the hypostatic union or any of the theology that is associated with it. You just have to be a witness. You have to live your faith. And it's so true. I often share a story about neighbors of mine who moved from another state, and we met this couple, and he was a fallen away Catholic. He was raised Catholic, but never went to the church, and his wife wasn't even Catholic at all. She was non-denominational or something. And they were church hopping. They were going around from church to church, trying to find something. And it wasn't the Catholic church they were looking at. But they saw the witness of my family. We were the neighbors, right? And we prayed before Mass. We prayed before meals. And I said, oh, I got to put my kids to bed. I'd go pray with them. Or we'd pray a family rosary. I'd take the kids on Saturday to confession. You know, we lived our faith. And it became very curious to them. And so one day I said to them, they were asking me all these different questions. And I just said, well, why don't you come back? I said to the guy, I said, what separated you? And he really didn't have an answer, you know. But he came back to church. Not only did he become on fire for love of the faith in the Eucharist, but his wife came into the Catholic Church, and it was a simple invitation. I think we have to live lives too. You know, we have to go to Mass. If we're going to invite other people to go to Mass, we've got to practice and pray. But I think there's a spiritual element to it. You can't worry about your words because the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And I'm sure you probably have seen that. Have you seen, well, what kind of personal experiences or highlights have you seen with this type of initiative yourself, or have you heard of?
I've seen it in different ways. You know, one example I often use is just my mom, because she's, you know, my mom's just a, she's an old lady who lives in a senior citizen's home, you know. You know, but she has, you know, she'll find people there who haven't gone to church in years. And then she'll befriend them. And then she'll make a little joke, you know, like, you're only one confession away from being a good Catholic, you know.
And I love that.
And then they begin to have a conversation. And last year she brought two people back to the faith. One of them called her after they had their cancer diagnosis, right? So they've been having these conversations. She got a cancer diagnosis, and then she called my mom and said, I'm ready for that priest. Why don't you call the priest, you know? And so it's as simple as friendship, invitation.
That's true.
And really, I think praying about who's the right person is one of the big steps, because all of us have one person in our life who the Lord could use us to make that invitation to them. And if it's done in a positive way, it can be very impactful.
No kidding. My guest today is His Excellency Bishop Cousins. If you want to join us, toll free for you, 888-914-9149. Love to hear your own experience. If you got a question, a comment, maybe you've been to church in a long time and there's something you want to run by His Excellency, feel free to do that. Maggie, I know you wanted to jump in.
I knew someone that a family member of mine was dear friends with. She lost her husband kind of tragically during COVID. And the first time she came back to Mass, she had a really bad experience, and it just turned her off from coming back to Mass. And I suggested to this family member, I was like, you know, maybe Sunday Mass is a little too intimidating for them right now. But you know what might help? Maybe if you go out to lunch or you go out to dinner, you could ask this friend, hey, you know, I really wanted to stop by the Adoration Chapel for a little bit. Would you mind just like coming with me for 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
No.
And I find that adoration sometimes is a lot less scary for people, you know, if they're not used to Mass or they have some sort of bad experience with Mass, that personal encounter with Christ sometimes can have a great impact.
I love that, Meg. Grace Flow, as you know, Your Excellency, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, I've seen that too, actually, where inviting someone to adoration, because it's a quiet place where they can just pray, and the presence of the Lord is there, and inviting them to it's a very non-threatening place, you know. It's just people are being quiet here, and we can just pray for a few minutes, and oftentimes the Lord might speak in that.
Well, let me do this too. I want to open the phones if you want to join us. And I'd love to know what your objection to the churches or why you left the faith. What is it that separated you from that beautiful gift of the Blessed Sacrament or reconciliation? Feel free to call. Love to hear about it. Was it a bad experience? The number's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I bet in most cases it's apathy. People just say, hey, stop going. And you know what? I probably should go back. It's been a while, you know. There was a Your Excellency, a friend of mine, a woman who my wife and I met, and we befriended this couple. And she had an abortion when she was young. And she went to confession, I guess, afterwards. And this is her telling of the story. So I don't know really what happened in the confessional. But she claims she had a bad experience in the confessional and felt judged or whatever it was. And that she never went back to church again. Right? Never. But, you know, we met her. We, again, were trying to be a public witness. And we just loved her. And one day we invited her to come back. And the experience in that sacrament was radically different. And I always say to people who are listening, just give the church a second shot. I mean, maybe the priest that day had a bad day. Maybe you had a bad day. You know, maybe it wasn't what you thought. You know, come back. Another girl I knew used to say, oh, church, you know, I went there one day after I was out all night. And, you know, I wanted to go to Mass, but I came in my whatever outfit she was in for the night before. And the lady in the pew in front of me turned around and said, you're a disgrace. You shouldn't come to church like that. And the girl stopped going to Mass because of that, right? She stopped going to church because she was chastised. I don't know what your story is. If you want to dial in, feel free to share it with us, and maybe we can help you. 888-914-9149. I want your assessment of those situations. And, you know, as a bishop, I'm sure you hear and see lots of different things. COVID-19 and the pandemic in particular, I think, indirectly and unknowingly cost a lot of people. You know, you do the seat count after COVID, and you see people just are not returning to the churches. What impact did COVID had, and what do you see? Why is there apathy? Why is there this disconnect from church today by Catholics? Is it failure in teaching, catechesis? What do you see? I mean, there's a lot of different things we can talk about, but I'd love to get your assessment, your take.
I think there's several things. Certainly the COVID-19 pandemic had a lot to do with it. And you're right, sometimes it is just habit, right? I break the habit and then I recognize, oh, maybe I don't need this, you know? Which, of course, shows that I didn't have a kind of living relationship with Jesus in the Eucharist, right? And that's really the goal of our Eucharistic revival is, if you have a living relationship with Jesus in the Eucharist, in other words, when you meet Jesus in the Eucharist, you encounter him, that changes everything, you know? Basically, what I think you're right, you know, sometimes we say, what's the question, the difference between apathy and ignorance, right? And the difference is, of course, between I don't know and I don't care, right?
Right, right.
And a lot of times the problem is I don't care. Yeah. It's the why is not clear to me. And so it's oftentimes some kind of an experience in my life or the witness of someone that allows me, gives me a reason why and shows me that I actually need this. And then the knowledge makes sense, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's not, if I don't care, telling me about transubstantiation or Jesus' presence in the Eucharist isn't going to make a difference. Once I care, that is, I realize I'm hungry for something deeper than earthly food can offer, and Jesus is the one who can satisfy that hunger.
Yeah.
And I do think that part of the problem in our culture is the, you know, we live in a very comfortable culture. And so people don't notice that hunger, and they medicate it with other things, and they fill it with other things,
yeah.
and until something happens in their life, usually, where that hunger comes up again, and they recognize, I need something. And then you meet those people who, having encountered Jesus in their need, are so grateful, right?
Yeah.
Because they know what it's like to live without him, and now having encountered him in their need, that's really what makes the difference. And they, of course, make the best witnesses.
My guest today is Excellency Bishop Cousins. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Let's take a call or two for you, Your Excellency. Kyle's in Wisconsin. Kyle, good afternoon. You are on the air. Go right ahead.
Oh, crap. Hi. I don't know how to, I don't really know what to say. I can't lie. You just want me to tell my story?
Sure. I mean, sure. I don't know what your story is. Be respectful, if you could, Kyle. If it's not a good one.
Of course. My family, I grew up going to a little church called Grace Church, and I never had a problem with my faith. I feel like me and Jesus have always kind of been buddies.
Mm-hmm,
but we, I'd say I was about like 10 or 11. We actually got removed from the church, mm-hmm. or at least my father was removed from the church for political reasons. And I was too young and I wasn't really thinking about it. It was more like, let's just go to a different church, right? And it didn't end up being like that. We church hopped around a little bit. My parents moved to Arizona. So then I was like, where do I go to church, right?
Right.
Yeah, I've been hopping around a little bit, but...
So
I'm not sure.
Kyle, are you in the Catholic Church, or you never really entered the Catholic Church?
I don't think I've really. I'm not a part of the church. Okay. I just church hopped.
Well, let me do this. I'm gonna let the bishop speak to you as well. But I invite you to look into the Catholic Church, right? If you have left this non-denominational or evangelical, whatever you know persuasion of the church was that you went to, go to a local Catholic church. Say I'm interested in learning about the faith, and I'm telling you what, they would love to answer questions for you and help you better understand what we believe and have you in this church that Christ established. Your Excellency, I'll let you speak to Kyle. Go right ahead if you want to address his issues.
Thanks, Kyle, for calling. And I would actually just encourage the same thing. You know, you're going to find if you will invest in a relationship, especially a relationship with the Catholic Church, that it becomes the greatest gift of your life. And it's a lot of times we don't even know what we're missing until we experience it. And I just encourage you exactly, go to a church near you and just say, hey, I'm interested in learning more. Most churches have something for someone like you, especially most Catholic churches, and they're going to be able to invite you in to experience friendship, community, but also a deep understanding of what it means to be known and loved by Jesus. And that gets deeper when we live it in community, especially in the church that Jesus himself established, which is the Catholic Church.
Amen to that. Kyle, I'll pray for your journey, and I mean that. I will offer prayer before I leave the studio here today at the chapel. Thanks for calling. Roy in Madison, Wisconsin. Roy, I know you, right? You've been a longtime listener. You're not Catholic yet. I think your daughter is. So I'm going to say the same thing to you. When are you coming in?
Drew, this is unbelievable because last Sunday, yeah, you know my story. You know my daughter is, and she's now hooked on Relevant Radio I have been for, 20 years. I've got her. She said, Dad, I see why you love it. She knows Trending with Tim Reed, knows Cal Clark, knows Father Simon, knows Father.
Yeah.
And, you know, but anyway, last Sunday, no, it's been happening at our non-denominational church. A few months ago, remember Patrick Madrid told me he didn't count my baptism because I was baptized in the Mormon church. And he said, and I got upset. I think I told you that. But then my pastor at the Bible church told me that about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
The Roy, you know, that's not the same, you know, same thing Patrick told me. And so anyway, then about 2 months ago, he slipped me a note at our Saturday morning men's breakfast where we have men's breakfast where we do a men's video for 20 minutes and we talk about it for being better Christian.
Yeah.
And he said, Roy, let's let some others participate. And there's probably 30 guys there. None of them's asking questions, so I do. And then now, last week, he sent us a text and said, my wife and I are too loud in the church during service and taking too many pictures with my camera disrupting the service. So last Sunday, I went back to my old denominational church, and now I'm thinking, maybe I should go Catholic, Drew. No, seriously. The real church.
Now, Kathy, Roy, I'll tell you what. Let His Excellency Bishop Cousins speak to you. You know, I've been talking a long time about it. You're going to find joy. You're going to find happiness. You're going to find answers to all the questions you want.
I stopped at Relevant today in Green Bay. I stopped by the old shop.
Yeah, I love it. Well, let me let His Excellency just address you. And here's a guy, Your Excellency, who's been on the razor's edge. His family's coming into the faith and just hasn't made that leap yet. So I know you and I are talking about inviting somebody away from the church. I also want to invite those who are really, they've been grappling with whether or not they should become Catholic or not. And I'll let you speak to that.
You know, Roy, I would just encourage you to read again John chapter 6 in the gospel, because the Catholic Church is the church that understands that passage and those words of Jesus the best, right? When Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And those aren't my words. Those are Jesus's words. And he meant those words, and he meant them when he said, this is my body given up for you, and this is my blood poured out for you. And this is what makes the Catholic Church the true church, is that we have the Eucharist. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that other Christians aren't holy, and they have the Word of God, and they have baptism, and those are really good things, and grace can be working there. But the Catholic Church has the fullness of the faith in the Eucharist. And you can't get it anywhere else. And I often stand there at the altar or the pulpit, and I point to this altar and I say, nowhere else in the world can you receive the life of Jesus than flowing from this altar. And that's the same life that was poured out on the cross for us, and that comes to us through the Eucharist. So we want everyone to be invited to that banquet and to receive that life. And so we invite you, Roy. And it takes a while to get there, but it's worth beginning the process.
Roy, thanks for your call. Always good to hear from you, brother. I got to move along because I only have a few minutes with him. And I want to send a shout-out to Father Rocky, Bishop Cousins. I know you know Father Rocky well. The homily today that he gave, and he asked us all to remember John 6, 51. And that's that passage you just quoted. You know, it's such a great one for us to know. And You know, unless you you eat of the flesh, you're not going to have life. And Roy, I invite you to come home. Come into the church. Bill's in California. Good afternoon, Bill. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Go right ahead, Bill. I have a minute or two for you.
Sure. I was raised Catholic, and I left the church when I was 17 because I was 17, and saw a lot of hypocrisy in my family mm-hmm. and also in the church, and then went to my own way for 5 years.
Yeah.
When I was 23, I actually received Christ, and then got involved and discipled at a really good Bible teaching mm-hmm. and worship centered church.
Yep.
And I never went back to the Catholic Church, even though I believe that they, you know, at their roots are Christian, but they've added so much ritual and tradition that I think they've watered down a lot of the gospel. Yep. And that's why I'm still a born again Christian. Yep. Love my Catholic brethren, but that's the reason I left the church.
Bill, we love you. You're my brother in the Lord as well. I love it. I'm inviting you to come home. You're one confession away, but Your Excellency, I want you to address it because too much, studied scripture. You heard his comments. I don't want to reiterate them. Your thoughts on the problems he pointed out regarding scripture and everything else that takes place within the Catholic Church.
Well, first off, I would just say we want everyone to experience that deep conversion that comes from having a personal relationship with Jesus. We want that. But we know that Jesus established a church and that it was founded on his apostles and the teaching of his apostles, and that even the rituals which we do within the church, they flow from that original source. And actually, the Protestant churches, as good as they are, they have left behind some of those central traditions mm-hmm. that Jesus himself intended for us, and most especially the Eucharist. And if you would have went to St. Augustine or anyone in the first 1,500 years of Christianity and said, one day there'll be Christians who don't celebrate the Eucharist, they would have passed out.
Wow.
St. Augustine couldn't have imagined a church where you didn't have this covenantal relationship with Jesus in the Eucharist. And that's because the Eucharist is, in fact, the true heart of the church, and it always was, and it's only a modern issue that Christians in the last few hundred years began to question that.
Well, Your Excellency, I know you only have a few moments left. Let me give you final thoughts, too, for those who are listening. We have this beautiful initiative underway, and again, my gratitude for you. The National Eucharistic Revival is underway, and there's a wonderful initiative called Invite One Back. There's strategies on how to do that. What's the best place to get connected to that, and what would you, what do you want to leave us with?
Go to our website, eucharisticrevival.org. You'll find the information there, or at our eucharisticcongress.org. And the last thing I would say is, if you're interested in becoming an evangelist of the Eucharist, if you understand the goodness of it, which is what we need, right? People who understand it, who will share it with others, come to the National Eucharistic Congress this July. It's going to be a generational moment, and everyone who comes will leave there with fire and an equipping to be able to invite those in their lives back to the faith.
I'm not here to throw stones at the church ever. I'm a big defender of the church, but I got to be honest, I've traveled around the country recently, and I'm not hearing a whole lot of this from the pulpit and all these. What can the laity do? Can we ask our priest to talk about this? Should we, what would you suggest in terms of our effort to evangelize and invite people to this National Eucharistic Revival? Because I think there's a large swath of Catholics, Your Excellency, who probably still don't know about it.
Certainly ask your priests if they'll be willing to talk about it from the pulpit, and try to organize a group of your friends and say, hey, we'll organize people from the parish if you announce it and put it out there, because it is going to be life-changing for those who are going to be there. We have tens of thousands already signed up. We got room for more. We still got good hotel rooms. And it's now is the moment to actually organize your friends and family to come.
Yeah.
But remember, the Congress is not the end of the revival.
That's
we
right.
still have the whole mission year.
That's right.
And so come, even if you come with a small group, come.
Yeah.
And then when you go home, you'll be equipped to be able to work with your pastor to do the kind of evangelization we all need to do.
It will be a grace-filled event. I look forward to it. I hope I can get you on the air when we're out there. Relevant's going to have a booth set up, and you got to stop by, okay? And we'll have a chance to talk. Thank you, Your Excellency. Good talking with you
God
again.
God bless you, Drew.
God bless you. We'll talk again soon. This is Excellency Bishop Andrew Cousins. Say a prayer for him. He's got a big responsibility. He's the Bishop of Crookston, Minnesota, but he's also in charge of the National Eucharistic Revival. So there's a lot going on there. I'm going to take a short pause. I'm going to be right back. We got so much more to talk about. So hang out with me, okay? I'll be right back.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This is your last chance to accompany Father Rocky on a Relevant Radio pilgrimage to Poland and Prague in September. Very limited spots are available. Departing from Chicago and San Francisco airports only, reserve your spots now at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
Throughout the history of the church has been very, very clear. Yeah, our job is to worship God, but the fundamental mission of the church, the very first words, the very first hint Jesus gives us about what the mission's going to be, he says, you're going to fish for people. We call this evangelization, gathering people in. We tend to think, Father, that's your job. We show up, you evangelize. It's like, I don't know if you noticed, but at the end of Mass, I don't say, you go have a nice life, I'll do the work. The phrase isn't, ite, Father is sent. The phrase is, go, she is sent. But all of us are. This is all of our mission.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, so great to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. We were just speaking a moment ago with His Excellency, Bishop Andrew Cousins, on the Invite One Back initiative from the National Eucharistic Revival. And I would invite you to that. Can I just put a quick shout out to you for that? I mean, I hope you can do it. I'm going to be there. Father Rocky's going to be there. My colleague Patrick Madrid's going to be there. All of the show hosts are going to be there. In fact, Patrick and I believe Father and I will be part of a breakout session. Father's going to pray the rosary every day there, and it's going to be an extraordinary event. This is going to be a great event. A lot of grace is going to flow. But maybe a quick web address. You know, if you're worried about a room or you're trying to find tickets, you want to find out what's going on, go to relevantradio.com/indy. relevantradio.com/indy. And you can check it out. Relevant Radio's got a block of rooms. I was sitting down with one of my colleagues today, a guy named Garen, and he says that there's very, very, very few of these opportunities left. Relevant Radio is going to be sitting in a particular block, and it's going to be great. I saw a picture of the venue, too. Unbelievable. It's going to be a great time. Do not miss it. Come on out. Hang out with us. Check out relevantradio.com/indy. Bring that wayward person. That person has been away from the church for a while. You know, at least come for a day or two with them. There'll be Eucharistic adoration and processions and so much more. I'm telling you, grace is going to flow. Conversions are going to abound. It's going to be a great event. So that's relevantradio.com/indy. Enough about that. Let's talk about how you bring somebody back to the faith. How do you evangelize? This is the big thing, right? I shared my own personal witness, you know, in terms of a couple of people that I was, by the grace of God, able to welcome back into the church. But how do you do it? You know, for many of us, it's hard. I think the real block is, well, I don't know how to talk about the faith. What if they ask me about true presence? Or what if, you don't worry about that. You know, if you're talking to your family members, you can always direct them to relevant. You can always do your due diligence. I had a friend one time who said to me, if somebody ever asked me a question about the faith and I don't know how to answer it, I make sure the next time I'm asked that question, I do. So you can always get back to them and say, you know what? I followed up on your question. I really didn't have a good answer for you, but here you go. Talk to your family members who are alienated from the faith, right? And invite them. Invite them to come back. Get over the initial hesitancy. You know, I know talking about the faith can be a little bit intimidating, but you'll be surprised at how God is going to go ahead and to use you. And I know people are going to throw these at you. Oh, what about the priests who abuse kids? Or, you know, why do you Catholics worship Mary? Where's purgatory in the Bible? Right? You hear all those types of things that come up. Like I said, there's great resources that can answer those questions, and you always have relevant. But, you know, Christ mandated this. This is your mission. This is my mission. And we will stand before God. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We cannot be timid about this. You know, witness with your life. The gospel that some people may read, may only ever read, is your gospel, right? How are you living your faith, and how are you being a witness to Christ? It may not be your words that convert somebody, it may be your actions. So there is a series that's running right now. I came across a series called Bring Them Back, Right? We talked about this other initiative that Bishop Cousin has underway. This is another great one. Bring them back. This site will give you great tips on how to approach, you know, speaking, evangelizing, and welcoming back somebody who's been away from the faith. And I've invited Melanie Juno, who's the editor-in-chief at the Catholic Stand, to stop by and to fill us in on their success. I think they did like a 7 or 8-part series. And Melanie, it's good to have you with me today. Good afternoon.
Okay. Hi. Actually, it's a 15-part series.
Oh, my gosh. I stand corrected. That's twice as long as I thought it was.
Actually, you just stole all my thunder.
But, I did. All right. Well, yeah. That's 15 points, but pretty quick. You got to bring me through some of it, though, honestly. First of all, let me commend you and compliment you for doing this. Because I saw the series, and I thought, we can't talk enough about how to reach out and invite people back into the loving embrace of the church. Tell me a little bit about what motivated you to do this, and then maybe walk us through a couple of the steps. What are some things we can do that you personally have found effective?
Well, first, this is Gene Van Son's series. He wrote a book, and he couldn't find anywhere to publish it.
Oh, wow.
So he asked me if he could publish a series of articles on it. So this is his research and his work. But the main point of it is, don't be afraid. Talk to people. You know, don't be afraid to bring it up, and don't be afraid to invite people to a mass. But very low key, you know, no pressure, humble. You just plant the seeds, and God does the rest. Mm-hmm. You don't have to convince someone. You don't have to beat them over the head. You don't act holier than thou or condemn them or criticize them. You just try to welcome them. Yeah. And then he, in his series, he answers people's objections and, you know, what you can say to them to counter it.
Yeah. I had His Excellency Bishop Cousins on a few moments ago, and he said something I think is the first step in all this for any of us. Pray, right? Pray for them. Never underestimate the power of prayer, especially for those who left the church. I'm sure a lot of parents right now are praying for their wayward kids, but he said something.
Well, St. Monica and St. Augustine, you know, it was just prayer.
It was. And you know what? I love what he said. He said, do adoration or just pray. Target somebody. Maybe it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's a friend. You know, pray for them. And to your other point, which I think is a really great one, you know, don't be afraid. I mean, step out in faith. Let the Holy Spirit inspire you, and let the Holy Spirit touch the heart of that person you're talking to. What are some of the strategies you would recommend? Do you reinvite somebody back to the faith? I mean, take me through a couple strategies that you think would be effective.
Well, one thing Gene mentions is just if someone's lapsed and they're single, like COVID.
Yeah.
He has all these statistics. Before COVID, 14 million Catholics went to daily, weekly mass. Now it's like 8.
Yeah, I know, it's sad.
And so they got in the habit of not going, you know? And then you feel funny going, you know, or, you know. So he says to a single friend, say, well, why don't you come with me? Or if it's a couple, I'll meet you at the church. Or why don't we go out for brunch? You're sort of, instead of just saying go to mass, you're inviting them to community, you know? It's like friendship, opening up their lives. Like, I'm a convert, and I was a spirit-filled, charismatic, converted with the Jesus people. And when I moved to a new town to go to university, the only, in quotes, alive place was a charismatic Catholic prayer group. And they said, why don't you come to Mass with me? And I was so anti-Catholic, but attending one Mass, I could hardly sit or stand. I was completely overwhelmed with the presence of God. And I went up to the chaplain right after, completely anti-Catholic, and I said, I want to meet with you tomorrow. And if this is the body of Christ, I want to receive it. Of course, all he did is beam at me. But just getting somebody there, and the Lord does the work, the rest.
I love it. Maggie, my producer in the last segment, said, invite somebody to adoration with you. You don't have to even take them to Mass. I mean, I think there's a beautiful majesty in the Mass, and I'm with you 1,000%. But if you just say, hey, you know, you're a prayerful person. I am too. Let's pray for that issue you have. You might stop it in this church and find out where adoration is. It's transforming. Hey, Melanie, I'll tell you.
Just welcome them, you know, as a friend. And if they're kind of nervous or that, you say, I'll meet you there, or let's go for brunch after, you know, because people are lonely.
I guess it was maybe your article or somewhere I was reading it, and I thought that was a great strategy. Hey, let's meet for breakfast. Let's go to Mass, and we'll grab breakfast afterwards. I mean, something like that where you're mixing friendship, culture, food with the faith, it's a great way. It's a great icebreaker as opposed to saying, hey, let's just go to Mass, right? I mean, that's a great strategy. Let me do this, Millie. Go ahead.
In the olden days, you just didn't go to church. That was your community.
Yeah,
you socialized with them. You invited them over to your house, and people are craving that.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll tell you what. In fact, we could talk about that when I return. Relationships really are the foundation of evangelization. I got to take a quick pause, and then we'll be back on the other side. I want to get you plugged into this 15-part series. It's well worth reading. And I'd love to hear from you, too. I only have maybe 10 minutes to hang out with you. Have you come back to the church? And if so, what was it? Somebody reach out to you? You know, was it an encounter? Was it the Eucharist? I mean, what was it that brought you back into the Catholic Church? What was it that brought you into it, period? Maybe you are a convert, like we've heard from so many other people. And on the other side of that aisle there, too, I mean, what did you do? Maybe you were, like me, I had the opportunity to witness my faith and was able to bring, you know, a couple people into the church. Sometimes it's as simple as just asking. Love to hear your stories. I only have a small window, so let me give you the number. It's 888-914-9149. Give me a quick call. We'll talk right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
Prayerfully consider a career where you can blend your faith and profession. Catholic Order of Foresters, our sponsor, is hiring agents in your market now. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester. That's relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. So good to be here with you. You're praying for somebody who's away from the faith. Would you like to be a witness for Christ? You know, one day when I stand before God, I hope there are many souls behind me. You know, I hope the Lord sees not only my love for him, but my desire to bring others to him as well. And the first thing we have to do, it's what fuels, what animates, what empowers this mission is prayer. You got to pray. One of my favorite scripture stories, because it's so rich with God's mercy, is the parable of the prodigal son. It's a really powerful narrative of forgiveness and redemption and unconditional love of a father for his child. And that's how God is for us. We have to, I think, in order to evangelize, show love and not judge. We can argue that, but, you know, Christ meets you where you are. And I think we have to meet our fallen away brothers and sisters where they are. And it's essential to, I think, approach them with a heart full of love, devoid of judgment, welcoming them back into the beauty of our faith. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. How do you do it? One of the other steps, in addition to praying, is fostering genuine relationships. We left off by talking about this, that relationships really are the foundation of evangelization, that reaching out should not feel like a project or a duty, but it should be this authentic desire to reconnect, right? It should be a loving endeavor. It should be mercy. So invite them to casual, non-church-related situations. Have breakfast, have dinner, have a drink. Go play pickleball, do whatever. Build a relationship with somebody, and through those genuine relationships, through conversation, through your personal witness, they're going to want to know more. That's what happened with my neighbors. I mean, I didn't hit them over the head with catechism quotes. You know, we grilled out. We had glasses of wine. We did things together. And months later, they wanted to know what I had. And next thing you know, they're running into the church. So I advise you to do the same thing. If they, you know, provide answers with charity and clarity, and of course, pray for them and accompany them on their walk. I'm joined right now by a woman who is on fire for the faith. She hails from Catholic Stand, and they've been running a series called Bring Them Back. And it's a 15-part series. Part 9 just went up, and I must have stumbled across this, or maybe somebody who was listening sent it to me, and I thought, these are some great strategies, and I'm so glad to have you with me, Melanie. I'm grateful. Number 9 is up right now, so very quickly, because I want to take a few phone calls here. If people want to get connected to that, can they get the others 1 through 9, or are they posted, and how often do the rest of the series go up?
It's every week on Monday, a new one comes up. So if they just type in Catholic Stand, they'll see, and then they'll see you know, they'll be able to click on one of them.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Let's grab a few calls for you. Alicia is in Texas. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Hey, I'm well. Thanks for calling in.
Excellent. Well, Drew, you know, I was born and raised Catholic, and I'll just say I kind of got, my faith got lukewarm. And it wasn't until I started listening to Relevant Radio and praying the chapter with you and the family. And it just changed my life.
Oh. That is so
I can't explain it. I mean,
sweet.
I used to be a cruel person. Not cruel, just hard. You know, hard, rock, hard. And now I just want to learn more about God so he could teach me how to love him the right way.
Well, Alicia, I am so glad that God's grace reached you, converted you, and I am so glad you're part of our spiritual family here. Holy Spirit uses Relevant Radio, I think, in a very powerful way. You know, we'd never know how he's touching hearts, and clearly you are the fruit of that. I'm so glad to call you not only a sister in Christ, but one of our family members here. Thank you for sharing that with us. Great to have you.
Thank you, Drew.
God bless you. Thank you. Will do. Roxana is in Gastonia, North Carolina. Good afternoon, Roxana.
Hi, Drew. Just wanted to say I love your show. I wanted to share that I learned about Relevant Radio when I was on a Sikh trip as part of the Focus Missionary when I was in college. And it has been such a blessing. And I encourage anyone that is thinking about going to the National Eucharistic Congress to just go, because this is where I heard about Relevant Radio. And now my husband and I love your show, and it's something that we are able to talk about all the time. All so right. We're just so excited for Relevant Radio. So thank you, Drew, for all that you do.
Well, Roxana, stop by the booth when we're there. I'll be broadcasting live from the National Eucharistic Congress. So I hope to meet you and your husband. All right? Make sure you do that.
Thanks.
God bless
you.
Great to hear from you. All right. Let me sneak in another call here. Melanie, Sherry is listening in Minnesota. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I just wanted to share my conversion story real quick. I grew up Protestant, and then I was going to these Koinonia retreats. I was going through a divorce, and people kept saying to me, you should join RCIA and become Catholic. Mm. And so I did, and one of the reasons I did was because of the beauty of the Mass and the Eucharist, and also the Stations of the Cross, which I thought was so beautiful. And so I was confirmed in 2001, and I have never looked back. I love being Catholic. I listen to Relevant Radio all the time.
That's so awesome. Let me ask you, what advice would you give to somebody right now who has not come back to the church yet? What would you speak to the person who says, I'm not going to Mass, I don't really need it anymore? They kind of just grew lukewarm.
I prayed for signs to ask God, are you really calling me?
Wow.
And I got them. I went to Mass where I had never gone before one time, and they were singing a song during communion that happened to be the theme song on the last weekend I was on, which was You Are Mine. And it was such a personal, it just felt like a personal invitation. Wow. And there was other signs too. I asked, could I ask Jesus, could I have a piece of the large host when I go up to just confirm to me that it's really you. I get that all the time now.
Like, that's awesome.
This is awesome.
It's funny.
It's a very personal thing.
Thank you for sharing, because you can ask God. I do it too sometimes. I mean, I want to believe and walk blindly with faith and trust. I think that's important to do. But sometimes we can ask the Lord, is this really what you want? I think if you look for the signs, you ask for them, sometimes they'll come. I don't believe in putting the Lord to the test all the time, but he knows our heart, right? And why not ask him? And he might respond. Melanie, let me get back to you here, too, because I have a moment or two left. What final advice would you give to those who are listening in terms of helping to bring those you love back to the church?
Love them and be open and listen. Don't lecture. Listen. And initiate conversations, but listen, you know?
Yep.
And invite and be yourself. Like, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have all the answers. It's a conversation. And share your faith, how God has touched you, filled the empty places in you, loved you, healed you, and how it's changed your life. Because people are not fulfilled. They are not happy, and they are looking. And the Catholic Church has the answer.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, keep up your good work there with this series. I'm grateful for it. You never know how the Lord is using it. I stumbled across it, and now so many other people will see it as well. Melanie, God bless you. Keep up your good work, okay? We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you. It's Melanie Juno, and they're doing a 15-part series on evangelization. My apologies to everyone on hold, okay? I'm out of time. I would love to spend, I don't know, all day with you, but I can't. I've got to leave it here. I'll be back again tomorrow. I do invite you to maybe respond to the Holy Spirit today. Speak truth to somebody that you love with charity. Maybe invite somebody to come home, to take them to the sacrament of reconciliation. And maybe if you yourself have been away, let me personally invite you back into the church. If you're a Catholic, go to the sacrament of reconciliation, where the Lord told St. Faustina he is truly there, right? He's only hidden by the priest. He told her the priest is but a screen, and it's there that you will encounter, well, mercy itself. I'm out of time for the day. Thank you for letting me spend my time with you. Till our paths get crossed, I promise you my prayers. Remember, God loves you, and so do I. Have a great day.